You are listening to episode 119 on Wife Teacher Mommy, the podcast, our expert panel with all of your questions answered by our life coaches. You are in for such a treat today. You are going to meet four of my favorite life coaches ever, and we are answering all of your questions, and you're going to get so many incredible tips, so many little tips and tidbits that you didn't even know you needed, but you're going to just walk away feeling inspired. So don't go anywhere. Welcome to Wife Teacher Mommy, the podcast. I'm Kelsey Sorensen, a former elementary teacher and current homeschool mom. And even though I've been a resource creator since 2014, I've realized that printables alone aren't all you need in order to thrive as a teacher or homeschool parent. That's why I also created this show and got certified as a life coach to help you finally kick burnout to the curb and feel confident with whatever challenges come your way. With the right mindset strategies and new teaching inspiration, you're going to be well on your way to your best teacher life. Now let's go. Welcome to our expert panel on Wife Teacher Mommy, the podcast. So I'm so excited to be back recording regular episodes for Wife Teacher Mommy, the podcast. Last month, our entire month was our self-love challenge, which was amazing and incredible. And I loved connecting with so many of you. Now, if you didn't do the challenge, I really, really recommend going back and listening to it. You can start it anytime. Now, the best part of the challenge for me has been seeing how much it has helped so many of you. Well, on our live recording, many of you were telling me just how much this challenge helped you. And in the Facebook group, we had a discussion thread about each one, which you can still participate in. And I want to read one review that came in on the podcast during the challenge. So this one says, positive and engaging. I always want to do better, be better after listening to a podcast episode. I am not the best at journaling, but I put in an honest effort during the self-love challenge. I am learning a lot about myself. And that was from KD Grib on Apple Podcasts. And I know that you can learn so much about yourself when you participate in that challenge too. So if you didn't do that yet, would love you to go back and listen to it. And you can still opt in at wifeteachermommy.com/self-love-challenge and get the scorecard. And if you submit it to us, we will still get you a prize. And you can even still get bonus points for leaving a review on Wife Teacher Mommy, the podcast. So if you want to leave a review, just like the one I read, I would really appreciate it. It helps podcasters a whole lot. I'm not going to talk about it anymore right now, though, because I do want to get into our episode today, which is our expert panel with some incredible life coaches who I cannot wait to introduce you to. This recording came from our Winter Educate and Rejuvenate event. The reason that I'm sharing part of it with all of you today is because I am finishing up my manuscript right now. My due date is February 29th, leap day. I'm recording this on February 23rd, and I want to make sure that the episode for the first one in March is ready for my editor and that you get something new. I didn't want to just do another replay. I wanted you to have new content. But also, I needed to keep my brain space right now for the book. And I have a lot of new episodes planned for after I get my manuscript turned in. But for now, I'm recording just this little intro and then giving you about half. Like literally, we talked for almost 2 hours, this expert panel, and that was too long for the podcast. So I took about the first half, a little bit less than half, and I'm sharing it with you today. And you are going to learn so much from hearing the questions that came in. These are all real questions from our community. They submitted questions to our life coaches and then we answered in real time. And I hosted the panel. So I actually let the other amazing coaches kind of shine and share their answers to each question. I was the interviewer and then I would pick which coach I felt was the most appropriate for each question. And you are going to learn just so much. You're going to get all these golden nuggets. And this episode is really the opposite of the self-love challenge, because those were like, oh, you get this little 10-minute clip that you learn a lot from, like condensed down. But this is like meaty and juicy, and there's just so much inspiration. So I really recommend listening to the whole thing, even if you have to take it in little chunks. There's so much goodness here. One other quick reminder I want to give you is we have started putting these podcast episodes on YouTube as well. Now, probably like 99% of our listeners are listening on a podcast player like Apple or Spotify. But if you want to, for this one especially, where you can see all of the coaches' beautiful faces, you can tell who's talking a little bit better and kind of get more of that personalized feel by watching, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch the video as well. And we will link to that in the show notes if you're listening on Apple or Spotify. So you can also choose to watch on YouTube. So you can also choose to watch the video and see these beautiful coaches, what they have to share as well. But either way, you can also just listen here on the podcast if you're on the go doing things, doing whatever. But this is just one especially where the YouTube might be even more beneficial, because it's not just me talking. There's a panel of five of us talking, so it can be a little easier to tell who's talking when you're watching. Okay, but enough of me talking and introducing this amazing panel. Let's get to it. This is like the best group here. Like, these are amazing coaches. All these people here have been hand-selected by me because I love them. So the way this panel is going to work, I'm really going to let these other ladies kind of take the show. I am like the host, so I will be like asking the questions. And we have a Google Doc here. We emailed out and posted the pre-submitted questions, so we are starting with those. Each question will be answered by one coach so we can get through as many as possible. And I have in the Google Doc for the coaches here, he's going to answer each one so you can kind of be preparing. And then Kinsey on Team White Teacher Mommy is going to be watching the chat. So those of you who are here live, if you're like, oh no, I didn't pre-submit my question, or I have a question, questions might even come up as we go. We're going to try to get through as many questions as we can. We're going to try to be as snappy as we can with our answers while still giving quality answers, obviously. But Kinsey is going to be adding the new questions into the Google Doc at the end as well. So we'll get to those. And if you have a specific coach, like let's say somebody's answering a question and you want to have like a follow-up question or something, or you're just like, oh, I want this coach to answer me because of whatever, maybe what their niche is or whatever, you can put that. If not, we will just, you know, we'll decide who answers it. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. Okay, but let's start with introductions really quick. Like I'm talking like 30-second quick intro. And then at the end, you'll also be able to give a little like, hey, this is where you can follow me or whatnot at the end again as well. So we're going to go. I don't know if we all see the same screen. But well, Chrissy, you're up.
Okay, I'm up. Hello, everyone. And I'm so thrilled to be with my community of coaches. And I'm so thrilled to be with all of you. So my name is Chrissy Nichols. I'm a life coach for teachers for educators. I also work with a lot of time management, so executive function for learners in all size bodies. But I came to this work because I, just like you, have been a teacher for over 20 years, multiple decades, teaching everything from second grade to college students. My language or my area of content was French, English, history, and I've taught in both private and public schools all over the world. And I'm now based in Utah, where Kelsey is as well. Kelsey and I went through the same school, with many of us here probably, Life Coach School.
Yeah.
Of course, with Brooke Castillo. And just, I came to coaching because my story is pretty known to a lot of you, but I was just really burnt out. I was in a space in my life when I just needed something, and I knew that my thoughts were filled with a lot of victim thoughts, like it was the parents or it was the admin or it was sometimes even my students. And a friend had me go to coaching. It was the first time I'd ever heard of it years ago. And the end result of that decision and thus becoming a life coach for educators has been huge. It means I get to come monthly and more often than not, sometimes to coach in this incredible community. And I met the love of my life, lost 26 pounds, and really have just completely up-leveled and changed my life. So now my practice is called The Chrissy Concept. And that is my love and my passion, is helping educators and touching just one life, one classroom at a time, one teacher at a time, so that that ripple effect goes out into the world of education. So that is me.
I love it, Chrissy.
Hey, Francine. Hi, I'm Francine Estes. I'm originally from Brazil, so that's where the accent comes from. My first language is Portuguese. I speak Portuguese, Spanish,
English.
I got married in Brazil and came to United States a few years ago. I'm a foster mama. I adopted all three of my children from foster care system. I adopted three children with different special needs. All my children are uniquely and spirited. I have all kinds in my house. And that's how I got introduced, actually, to coaching. I was overwhelmed. I waited many years to be a mama. And I was so happy, but it was being hard for me to find joy in everyday life. And coaching completely changed everything for me. I lost weight. I was happy again. I could find joy in all the things. I didn't change. My kids' behavior didn't change. I just could see things in a different way, and I could manage my feelings and all the things. So that's what I do. I coach mamas and foster moms that have kids with challenging behaviors, but I don't just cheat. My coaching is not on parenting. It's in all the things. I just help mamas feel better so they can help their children thrive.
And who here ever deals with kids who are challenging or have special needs? I think everybody can raise their hands. Thank you, Francine.
Thank you for having
me. Okay, Cam, you are hot.
Oh, my turn. Yes, my name is Cami Bisson, and I'm a life coach for moms with young kids with an emphasis on wellness and weight loss. And I met Kelsey through, I guess it sounds like all of us went through the same school, the Life Coach School. Stalked her on Instagram. I'm one who sent her a message, and I've loved her ever since. So I'm so excited to be here. And then, let's see, what else did she want to hear from us? And then I'm over on the West Coast. I have four kids. I'm also a homeschool mom. So I'm really excited to be here.
Cami, I don't think I've been realized you were homeschooling.
Yes. Yes.
Is that new or did I just not know?
Maybe you mixed me and Bonnie up. But yeah, I've been doing it for a couple of years now. And it's interesting. It's interesting.
Yes, I forgot about you stalking. You did stalk me. And I saw Chrissy stalking among this group, apparently.
Yes.
Rocking. Okay, Bonnie, you're last, I guess.
Okay. Okay, I'm Bonnie Wiscombe. Heads up, I have both construction and like 15 children in my house right now, so I'm going to keep myself on mute when I'm not talking. I am a mom to 10 kids. We've homeschooled since the beginning because we're crazy, but we love it. And I've got into life coaching a couple of years ago. Same story. Changed my life. I lost weight. I got happier. My relationships improved. I learned about boundaries, so many things. So, of course, I had to become a certified life coach. And I was a blogger and a podcaster for many years and just love helping moms find more joy. So now I specifically help moms who want to start businesses, launch their businesses and learn more about that and find joy through that while balancing the mom aspect. But yeah, coaching has really changed everything. And I love coaching others because when you see that spark, right, like when people light up like, oh, I can let go of that story. Oh, I can let go of that expectation. It's the most wonderful thing. It's so inspiring. I love it. So I'm so glad to be here. And I love coaching with them.
Kate, I love your comment. So lose weight, need to be a coach. Sign me up. I love it. Bonnie, you're awesome. I love all of you. Thank you for being here. Okay, so we're going to jump into our panel. So we have these pre-submitted questions. Remember, if you have your own questions, pop them in the chat and Kinsey will add them in the order they come in the chat. And we're just going right on through them. Okay, so we are starting with, how do I find my happiness from within? And I put Chrissy on that one.
Perfect. Yes, thank you. This is a wonderful question, especially among my educator clients. We all know that there are these beats to the year, right? As we surf through the school calendar, even for my homeschool moms, amidst my incredible coaches, I feel so lucky to be. But the happiness that we can feel is really dependent. And you are going to know exactly what my answer is here, gang, out there in teacher world. It absolutely comes from within. It absolutely comes from our thought. And the question here is how? And I've been thinking about this question since it was submitted. I think my biggest way in, right? Because with these beats in the year, we're recovering. I hope you're all out there in teacher land, taking rest, taking time, taking moments for yourself. But in these soft spaces of gathering yourself, I want you to get really, really conscious of your win. For me, that is the best way into inner happiness. I look at what's going right. And even if it seems subtle, nuanced, small, ask yourself these questions. What is really going well, even in my morning, my afternoon, my evening? We can all point to one thing. I got my clothes on. My earrings look great. My glasses are helping me see better. I found them. I was to walk the dog. Whatever you feel like, it doesn't have to be doing. It could also be a beautiful state of being. Right now, I'm sitting in my chair. I take a nourishing breath in. Calm. Start there. And then another way in for me, this is just a personal sharing of my own tools, is gratitude. I think often I forget this practice, which is also part of my meditation practice. And we can find in all different traditions. I like to do a Buddhist meditation practice. And so gratitude is really, you can even start within your own body. So the how from within is starting with, right now my lungs are filling with air. Right now I am thinking thoughts that I'm able to speak out to you. You know, right now I have a beautiful community collective of educators with me in this moment. So the more I think you can identify what's going well, then you can start seeing the momentum of more that's going well and be on the lookout. At the end of the night before my bedtime ritual, I try to point to five things that I really appreciate from my day. It could be, it inspired me. I appreciate it. I saw a beautiful post from someone. I got a text from a friend. And then what I do is I find myself just throughout my day, naturally just looking for those five beautiful things. Oh, when I got to go skiing, I saw a really cool bird, you know, come across my path, or the sky, or a great pickleball shot that I made because I'm just addicted. So whatever it is for you, that happiness momentum will start with look for what you appreciate, what inspires you, what you're grateful for, and number two, what's already going well in your life.
Love that, Chrissy. Okay, next question. How to not be a people pleaser, how to work on yourself, Bonnie.
Oh, I love this one because I am a self-proclaimed people pleaser, and it is a big struggle for a lot of women. But the question I want you to ask yourself is, why do you want to please other people? It's generally not for the other people. It's for us, right? We want to feel love. We want to feel acceptance. That's all anybody ever wants. They want to know that they belong, and they want to know that they are worthy of love. And guess what? Good news is we don't have to get those from outside of ourselves. In fact, we can't get them from outside of ourselves. We think we can because we see modeled around us, like someone says something mean to me and I'm sad, or somebody, you know, bullies me and I'm mad, right? That's just our natural response to things because we haven't been taught yet how to manage our own minds and our own feelings. So the great news is we get to get it. We get to get that love and acceptance within ourselves. Others don't have to validate us for us to feel love and acceptance. And once we fully understand this, we can just break free from all the people pleasing, because it's okay if somebody doesn't like us. It doesn't mean anything about us. It's such a powerful feeling. And spoiler alert, it's going to be something we're going to work on for the rest of our lives. It's not like you're going to just click your fingers. Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's just humanity. But one thing I will say about learning to love yourself is ask yourself how you can be your own best friend. How can you be your own big sister, your own mentor, your own support system? It doesn't mean you have It doesn't mean you have to love everything about yourself. You can still know I'm great at this. I'm terrible at this. This is a pro. This is a con about me. But I can love me anyway. I can see all my faults and acknowledge them. And then when somebody else criticizes me, it doesn't matter because I'm like, yep, that's one of my weaknesses. I love me anyway. So powerful. Try it.
I love that. I love that, Bonnie. Such a good tip to try. And yeah, I mean, I think it really is, like you said, something we'll continue working on. And that is okay. Like, we'll just notice it. And now we know what to look for and we know what it means when we're doing that and how to redirect. So that's perfect. Okay, next question is for Cami. How to take care of myself first? Basically, put my mask on first so you can help the others around you and not go crazy.
Good question. And I love that you said, the person who asked this, I love that you said, put your mask on. Because yeah, that's, you really do. You have to take care of yourself first before you can take care of anyone else. Moms, you got to fill your cups up first before you can take care of the kids. Teachers, those students, they don't want a burnt out, angry, overwhelmed teacher. They want someone who comes in alignment, who is balanced. So yes, it is non-negotiable to take care of yourself first. And it doesn't even have to be, it doesn't have to be anything all day, anything crazy like a month-long vacation. It could be 10 minutes of journaling, getting your favorite coffee, calling a friend, going on a 10-minute walk. Like, what can you do to just bring a little bit of peace in your day? And even ask yourself that. Like, if you find yourself getting that overwhelmed feeling, like, what do you need right to yourself? What do you need right now? Like, how can I make you feel loved? What's going on with you? And then just go inside internally and listen. And then just take care of yourself like you would have looked like you're a little kid. Like, what do you need right now, honey? What's going on? Like, just be kind to yourself and know that you matter and you must take care of yourself first.
I love that. Thank you, Cami. Okay, the next question for Francine. And we're just going through these questions. So how to have positive self-talk? That is the question.
Yay. I love that question because I think we all struggle with that somewhat. And I think it's because of what society somewhat taught us, that if we criticize ourselves hard enough, if we shame ourselves, almost that we use self-criticism as a motivator to improve and to get better. And it does exactly the opposite, right? We will change when we learn how to self-love. And so how do we do that? I think it's that mindset shift of reminding yourselves, being hard on myself is not going to help me change. This is going to make it harder. It's like, you know, so when we're really good as a mom, knowing that if we yell at our kids, even though we do sometimes lose our cool and all that, but we know that we're not motivating them. We're not helping them. But we do that to ourselves, right? We just like, oh, why did you do that again? You're so dumb. How many times can you? Like, we're just so mean. And we think doing that, we're going to get better. So I think the first step is just to get in touch with that emotional pain that you're causing yourself and be empathetic and find compassion. And then you reframe it. How can you talk to yourself in a way that is going to motivate you, that's going to help you, that's going to show compassion towards you? And that's what I like to do, is say, love, what's going on? What's the matter? Like, I like to look, what I teach my clients is behind the behavior, there's your secondary emotion, your primary emotion, and your unmet need. Go right in there. What is your unmet need right now? Did you sleep last night? How long have you been gone? Like, with not one good night's sleep? Are you eating? I always sometimes go many hours. I remember when I was a teacher in the classroom, I'm just like, oh, I haven't eaten for like 9, 10 hours now. I was like, oh, that's because I'm a little
you know, hangry. So I think it just really starts with that mindset shift. This is not helping me. And then go into just having that compassion and then practice every day. Look yourself in the mirror. Like it does, you don't have to, okay, I need to reserve 15 minutes of my day. Now, why are you brushing your teeth? Why are you getting yourself ready? Look yourself in the mirror and just like, I love you. I'm here for you no matter what. Good job getting up today. Even though you didn't sleep really well last night, good job. Practicing that self-love and not being too harsh though, even though when you aren't mean to yourself, just like, oh, I get it why I'm, because I'm still thinking this is helpful, but it's not. And I think just realizing that too, just like, why I cannot keep being mean to myself? That's not helpful either. It's just like meeting that emotional pain and then reframing it.
Oh, so many good truth bombs there, Francine. I love it. Okay. Our next question is one I want all of us to answer, including myself. So the next one is, we're all going to give one of our book recommendation. And so I will start. I'm going to take my books right here, and I know exactly which one I'm going to grab. And it is This Beauty. Who here knows this one? I might have stolen some of yours. So Brené Brown, Atlas of the Heart. I feel like if you are into coaching, you need this book because it goes through, I mean, not every emotion, but like, well, like I think it's 89 different feelings that we have. And it's a beautiful, like I would recommend, like I love my Kindle, but this is one that I would get in print because it has like these beautiful illustrations, like big quotes in it. And it really, like you can read it. I got it on audio, so I like listened through the whole thing, but I now use this as a reference when I want to refer to like how I'm feeling. Like it has them in different categories, like places we go when things are uncertain or too much, or places we go when we compare. So it's a great reference guide to kind of explain why and how we're feeling and feelings that relate to each other, but the nuances and the differences between them. So I would highly recommend Atlas of the Heart by Brené Brown. Okay. And Chrissy, we can just have you go next.
Sure.
One.
Yeah, I have mine right beside my desk. I'm a big reader, so I'm going to go through them really quickly. I'm a huge fan of neuroscientist Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Becoming Supernatural is just one of my go-tos for manifesting what you want, for taking this work that you're all already doing, so you're already ready, already to the next level. But there are just some really cool graphics of the brain kind of happening when you are thinking a new thought. A lot of my clients and students ask, like, well, how do I really get a new thought in there that I'm trying to believe, that I'm trying to create in 2024? And Becoming Supernatural gives you a lot of tips of that theta waves. If you like to nerd out on brain chemistry, I highly recommend this. Now for a more sciencey take, Think Again by Adam Grant. He is amazing. And he is a New York Times bestseller. He really talks about how we don't have to believe everything we think and internalize everything we feel. So again, this is a great one to listen to. I do a lot of Audible. I like to highlight and get in there and, you know, read a lot, but that's fun. And then just on the woo-woo spectrum, or just about you
asking. So
I don't know, Kelsey, I got you. I'm not even at woo. But hell, this back even in the late 90s. This is a woman by Francesca McCartney. She's a PhD, but she talks a lot about grounding, using earth energy, having a meditation sanctuary, even when you feel just kind of off. I mean, Francine kind of went into that when we're feeling a little off kilter, we haven't had any water, speaking out, when we haven't had any practices to really ground ourselves to the pulse of the earth, like how practices like spending time in nature, even yoga, anything that links us to the pulse of the planet can really help us reconnect with ourselves. So
who was the author of that one?
Yeah.
Body Health by, who was the author of that one?
Francesca McCartney. That's McCartney. And she's out of San Francisco, out of Marin County. She's wonderful. And of course, they all have websites. and Kelsey knows this. No one's asking us to, like, Joe Dispenza doesn't ask me to plug his books. I just
love these books.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I share a quick tip, though? One thing you said that reminded me, you were talking about audio, but also liking to highlight. A new thing that I love is, so I got a Kindle recently for Mother's Day. I love it. But when you have a Kindle and you can add on the audio, and sometimes it's not that much more than like using an Audible credit, when it'll go back and forth between the two, and then I'll listen, and then I'll just put my phone nearby for if I want to highlight a part and highlight it on the Kindle. It's my new favorite thing. Like, it's so good. So I like to do both. And then I can like refer back. It's amazing. Kinsey in the chat, Kinsey Team Wife Teacher Mommy, as we go through these books, let's make sure we note all of them and add them to our coaching book list on Amazon, and then we can get that to everybody. So we'll add those ones that Chrissy mentioned. And I knew the first two, but I did not know the third one that you shared. So I'm glad you did, Chrissy. Hey,
I'll go put them in the chat for everybody.
Okay, I have a million, but I'm not going to share a million. I'm just going to share two. And one, I'm going to try to go as quick as I can because I know we want to go through the questions. So self-compassion is just go through what I just talked about it. This has lots of exercises they can do. So practical. And I love Kristen F. She is amazing. So that's a very good one for you to start. Those that are struggling with the inner voice and people pleasing, it just all start with that self-love and learning. So she gets really, really practical exercises that I do and my clients do. I have many parenting books that I love, but one of my favorites is Brain Body Parenting. This has become quickly one of my favorites, and it just talks about how there's a connection, right, between it's a body and a brain. Sometimes when we're not regulated, our prefrontal cortex shuts down. There's not a whole lot of thinking going on. And we're trying to teach your kids something right now, and they are gone. Like, because they can't think. Number one, their prefrontal cortex is not even, the thinking part of their brain is not even totally, completely developed. But especially when they're mad and dysregulated, really, it's not working. So it teaches how to go through the body and help our children. And it's a completely different way of parenting. And I love to combine that with my other parenting techniques. So this is a very, very good one. So those are my two books that combined with all the other ones mentioned, because except for one of Chrissy's, I actually familiar with all the rest of them. So thank you for all your
amazing. Francine, I was just going to say thank you so much for highlighting the work of Kristen Neff. She's one of my OGs. In fact, I would weave that into the answer of my first question, how to feel happier from the inside. Just YouTube anything by Kristen Neff, really.
I love it. Wow, so exciting. Okay, Cammy, you're up next.
I'm an underachiever because I don't have them with me. You girls have them right by you. That's awesome. I think my two favorite ones right now are about, I guess, habits, like forming good habits. One is The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. I really like that one. And I feel like that everybody needs to read it. And then the other one is Atomic Habits by James Clear. That might already be on your list, maybe. That one, I feel like everyone needs that one too. Like, no matter your profession, anything, like, it's life changing. Definitely get it.
Okay. And easy to code if you can put the titles and authors in the chat, and then Kinsey will grab them all and put them in our Amazon shop for future reference as well. Amazing. Hey, and then Bonnie, you've been so patient, Bonnie.
Yes. Okay. So my favorite self-help book that I read this year was The Gap and the Gain. I'm obsessed with it. It's by Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy. Essentially, they just talk to us about how we spend most of our life looking back or looking forward to all the things that we haven't reached yet. I don't have this much money yet. I'm not this room yet. I'm not this patient yet. I'm not this whatever. When we should be looking backwards at how far we've come. That's it. That's all he talks about in the book, is to look backwards at how far you've come instead of looking forward. And it was a complete game changer for me, especially along with coaching helped so, so, so much. That one was huge. I also really, really love just finished All It Takes Is a Goal by John Acuff. That is a perfect January book for resolutions. I love his podcast too. All It Takes Is a Goal. Anyway, that's phenomenal, phenomenal. Will really help you break down your goals and make sure that you accomplish them this year.
Amazing. Those are both so good. I'm like, oh, I should have done multiple books. Kidding. We got pretty good. So many good books here. I love it. And I'm obsessed with The Gap in the Game too. That my whole Own Your Teacher Wins session I did in the past was based on, because that one just blew my mind too. So good. Okay. And as you can tell, I bet all of us could talk books all day long. So if you ever have questions about books, my Teacher Mama Club Facebook group, or ask us at the end of a coaching call about a book on anything, and we'll be happy to give you recommendations. Okay, next question. Let's see, where are we at? Okay, Chrissy, I'm a special education teacher. I get stressed and sometimes have anxiety about the paperwork and tend to procrastinate. This is my second year teaching SPED. Oh, okay. That was, oh, wait, that's two different questions.
That's okay.
It would be great. I don't know if that goes along with it. Anyway, maybe just talk about all that.
No, that's beautiful. So, to restate, so it's a time management question, which we all need. So even if you are not a special education teacher, just put your own, even if you're a human adult, mammal, biped walking around in the world, this answer is for you. But the one before it was, I get stressed and sometimes have anxiety around paperwork. Listen, I have dear friends in my life who get anxiety. They are physicians and they get anxiety about keeping up with their physician notes. I have attorneys in my life and they have anxiety about keeping up with their paperwork. I don't know about you, but sometimes I am guilty taking the mail and putting it off to the side and having my husband either open it or say, hello, deal with this. So I just want you to remember, as a SPED teacher, as any teacher on the planet, as any human, it is normal not to do some of the things that we don't want to do. And what I like to do in these situations when I have paperwork I have to do, or the more businessy side of things that I don't love to do, grading falls into that category. Sometimes any kind of, sort of monetary things. I just want, to coach. That's all I ever want to do. I don't want to invoice. I don't want to do, as Kelsey knows, I don't want to also my bureaucratic thing. And yet I just stop and I ask myself, what emotion can I use as fuel to get this done? We all know that dirty fuel, and I love Bonnie kind of talked about this, comes from being hard on ourselves or maybe beating ourselves up about something else. Francine, you touched on this too. All of us have. But really, when we want to get something done for us and have our own backs and keep our word to ourselves, this is where the gap in the gain comes from. We want to ask ourselves, what powerful fuel can I use, right? How am I going to high five my future self in half an hour of taking care of this piece of paperwork, paying this bill? And I will share my top tips for creating clean fuel for myself. Determination. There's a wonderful podcast on determination that our teacher, Brooke Castillo, put out there recently in the Life Prep School podcast.
I love that one. Yeah.
And I'm going to find it and put it in our chat for our listeners here. So determination is another good one, but also this might sound funny to some people, but pride. I really want to be proud of myself at the end of the day. This gets back to pleasing myself first in the long term, right? That sort of self-gratification that's delayed, that being proud of myself now, doing the hard thing now. And what I would just say to the person that asked this question as a SPED teacher, that I know for me, my SPED teachers walk on water. They are the angels of my community, my education department, anybody who works with non-typical neural anybody. I put myself in that category with my ADHD. that I have. And I just want to say there is a lot that comes with your job. So acceptance already, not putting so much pressure on yourself, but coming from this space of determination, pride, how am I going to get this done now? I'm a big believer in setting timers. I love using the Pomodoro timer method, where I will just set that. If you're not familiar with that, it's just it's a method that began in the 80s as an Italian lawyer who's now a time specialist set his mother's Pomodoro kitchen timer. It's just a tomato, Pomodoro in the form of a tomato. He set it to 25 minutes. He got as much as he could get done in 25 minutes. Then he would take a break. So this timing, 25 minutes, has been backed up by research and science that says block out all distractions, just go in for 25 minutes. We like to think in chunks. And if you can see gain in the fact that you are doing 25 minutes to help that gap, I sometimes, when I don't want to pick up a room, I will do, I call it my 7 minutes of cleaning wild insanity. Put on some Taylor Swift. I'll put on some hip hop. Little Tribe Called Quest, go the long way for me. I'm a hip hop queen. And I will just 7 minutes get it done. So decide your fuel. If you have a thought that goes with that emotional fuel, like I want to be proud of myself in 26 minutes, attack it. And then really, really congratulate yourself. Complete that cycle with a reward. Maybe it's I'm going to get up, walk around, check out the horizon, maybe do some tapping, get out of your body in some way. So I hope those tips have helped.
Love that, Chrissy. So many golden nuggets there. Thank you. Okay, next question. I'm going to just like be going right to the next one to try to make sure that we get through as many as we can. And any that we don't get through, maybe we'll put them in the Facebook group or we'll put them in the Ask a Coach so everybody can read the answers later. That might be a good way to do it as well. And we'll share Ask a Coach when we do the tour after this panel too. Okay, next question is for Bonnie. How do I set boundaries with your husband? How do I set boundaries with my husband? I'm assuming I want my kids to see how to have healthy boundaries within the family.
Yeah, we recently talked a lot about boundaries on a call in the club. I love talking about them. Essentially what a boundary is where one person ends and where another person begins. So sometimes in families, it can be tricky to figure out where my boundary is, especially with a loved one. And when it comes to teaching our kids, the best thing we can do is to just communicate, right? So very often I will tell them, hey, guys, I am going to take a shower right now because that's what I need. And I know you have more needs from me right now, but I'm going to step away and go do this thing for me. So a lot of it is involved in self-care. With your husband, I would probably need to know a little bit more details to know specifically about a husband. If there are ways that you feel like your boundaries are being crossed or vice versa. So if you want to bring that to a call in the club, that would be really helpful. But basically, again, just communicating, saying, hey, I feel a little bit steamrolled right now. I feel like maybe your needs are getting met more often than mine are. So I'm going to take some time to put up a boundary in that I need some alone time, or I need to go on a walk, or I need more self-care, or I need this, or I need that. In the end, I love to remind people, we can't control other people. So a boundary is not, you must do this thing. It's I'm requiring this for my own self-care or my own mental health. If you cross that boundaries, then I will do this thing, right? Like if you insist on banging on the bathroom when I'm going to the bathroom, I might need to leave the home for a while because you're making me a little bit crazy. I might need to get a babysitter and leave. I'm talking about kids, so they love to cross boundaries, but maybe it could be something similar with your husband. Hey, I really need some decompressing time when you come home from work. Let's just assume you're a stay-at-home mom or something, or when you come home from work, I need some time alone. If you can't give me that, I'm going to have to take a little bit longer to get home because I really need to just think after my workday, whatever that may be. You're just communicating to your family members what you need and then coming up with a follow-up through with what you will do if they can't do that. And sometimes people think that's harsh or whatever, but remember, no, it's no one's job to take care of us besides us. Like, no one's going to step in and be like, oh, mom needs a break. That just generally doesn't happen, right? Or teacher needs to go breathe so she doesn't hurt somebody. It's completely up to us. And those around us suffer if we cannot maintain our boundaries. So this is a great one to get one-on-one coaching with. I'd love if you brought more details to a call. It'd be great.
Okay, this next one, I don't have a name by it for some reason. Who wants to answer it? I find myself staying too late after school I don't know if I am enjoying the peace and quiet or don't want to go home. How do you find your own feelings? Francine, you look like you're like about to answer it.
I totally answer, you know what? I could have totally jumped in the pool with you there. So I could have thrown you there because independent. So I don't know if I'm enjoying the peace and quiet or don't want to go home. And do you know what? It could be both. It could be like, you know what? When I get home, it's loud. And the kid and here is it's peaceful and quiet. And I want to do that. And so the question is, how to find your own feelings? Okay, so how do I find out if it's because I don't want to go home or because I enjoy it? And again, I think it could be both, right? A combination, because clearly I would ask myself, why would I not want to go home? What is at home right now? What is happening? What happens when I get home? What is out there? What makes me think? Because we know that it's not the circumstances. It's not the kids screaming, or it's not that you have to do dinner or you don't have to do anything. It's not that. It's what are you thinking about that? What does that mean to you? Right? So I would be really clear, not with the circumstance itself, but what is making you think? What are you thinking about it? What stories you're creating in your mind about that? And if you're asking that, it's coming from a guilty feeling. And if that's coming from that place, I want to stop that right now. Because I feel like you're just thinking, either it's probably a bad thing. None of it is a bad thing. A feeling, it's not a problem to be solved. It's just pointing you. It's a communication. It's communicating with you. What is up? Like when I go home, what is happening? What is that telling me? I don't feel appreciated. Or do I like go in, like really go in? I think we're just so afraid of the feeling. That's maybe the reason why you're not being able to access it, because you are shaming and blaming and self-criticism. Just like there's nothing wrong if you don't want to go home. There's nothing wrong with just like go really in and be. That's the beauty of coaching, because none of us here are judgmental. We hold the space for you to have it all. You can come to any of us and we're going to hold the space. We're going to hold the space for you to say, you know, I'm really mad at my husband because he's not helping with any of it. I was like, oh, tell me more. Let's investigate more. We're not going to say, really? Why are you doing that? So you are afraid of finding out. I think that is the thing. It's just like, so think about the circumstances that's happening at home and at the school and what you're thinking about that, and drop the guilt and the shame. That would be my... And if they want to come, and I bet any of us could coach them and on this. So please bring the session too.
We love coaching you. That is what we're here for. We love coaching you when there's a scheduled call. We love if you're like, I can't wait for a call and go to ask a coach. We'll be excited to coach you in that way too. We're always here for you. And that was an amazing answer, Francine. Love it. Okay, the next question is for Cami. How to find your motivation to get things done, like meal plan, cook, and exercise. I thought this was a perfect one for you.
Oh, I love that. And I love that she said, I think it was a she, maybe not here, she said find, because I think we're all guilty of we need to find the motivation, but that just never happens. We think it's laying there on the ground. We're going to find it. Oh, there's my motivation. I'm looking for it. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen. It's like that quote, motivation is like bathing. It doesn't last. So that's why we recommend you do it daily. We just have to revisit the why of like, why do we want to do that? Like, why do we want a meal prep? Because we don't have to. We're adults. Why do we even want to work out? We totally don't have to do that either. It's totally optional. And just remembering like, why are we doing it? And do we actually believe we can hit that goal? Because a lot of times if we aren't taking the actions, it's because there's a part of us where we don't think we're going to achieve that goal. So if I were to tell you, like, if you do A, B, and C for 90 days, you're guaranteed your dream body for the rest of your life. Would you do it? And I think most people would be like, heck yeah, yeah, I'll do that. I'll sign up for that. Because you know that you're going to get the goal that you're looking out for. And a lot of times too, we have motivation and we have it backwards. Like, we got to take action first and then the motivation comes. We always are like waiting for the motivation first. So even like if you commit to 3 weeks of working out and you're not going to check the scale, you're not going to like obsess over if you look different. You just commit to working out and following your meal plan. And then 3 weeks go by and you're like, oh, I feel great. I have more energy. I notice a bicep line, like I'm down 6 pounds. Then all of a sudden it's so much easier to continue because we got that hit. We got that. And then we're able to take action and the motivation just keeps coming. And then it's like a circle. More action, then you get the results, and then more motivation comes. It's like a little circle that keeps going. So I think it's just remembering our why, and also thinking of, I don't know if you know who Mel Robbins is, but she's famous for doing the 3-2-1 method. Like, when you're in bed and it's cold out and you told yourself you're going to get up and run, just remember why you want to do it, and 3-2-1, go. Get up and go. Just don't overthink it.
I love that, Cammie. And that's what you start with, like, the finding. Like, we're not going to just find it. We have to create that motivation. But as Bonnie just shared in the chat, favorite quote about motivation is motivation is earned. We get it through taking action. So it's like that momentum that we're building as we do that. And as you mentioned, as we believe that we can get ignoring you. Okay, the next question. I have Grant Sweeney listed here. How do you deal with behavior issues in the classroom?
I love that question so much. So actually, starting January, we're going to be teaching some mini lessons. And I'm going to go through everything that I'm going to try to present in his answer. But I'm going to go through in details in my next 3 mini lessons that I'm going to be teaching. So I'm going to try to go as fast as I can, which is kind of hard. But I will just give you like 5 little steps that I believe that it's really important. And I think the first one, and I think that's the one that most of us skip, which is self-awareness. Pay attention to where you are. Ground yourself. So when you see the behavior, when the behavior is happening, what's triggering you? What's coming up for you, right? Like right at the moment. You can come up from a reaction place, right? That's not where we want to come. Or you can come from a more confident place. So the first thing that I love to teach my moms and teachers and whoever I am coaching is teaching them how to have what I call a survival mode plan. Because let me tell you, there are some behaviors that's going to put you right into survival mode. And if you don't have a plan, you're going to react. And that's not what you want to do. So you want to have a plan. So if you are in that flight or flight, you have a plan because you already know that so-and-so usually does this. And this comes up for me. And on the background, when you come for me to coach you, we're going to go really, very specific. What's bringing up for you? Is that something that's happening? Like, you know, we're going to go really into detail. So the first step is self-awareness. Ground yourself. It's grounding. And then number 2 is pay attention to what is behind the behavior. Understanding the child. What is behind that behavior, right? Because we have, I love to use, I think I mentioned previously, is what I learned. I'm taking some parenting classes with BYU Idaho online because I just love learning new things. So I'm always thinking new classes. And I learned this, what we call it, what the professor called the bull's eyes of need. So what we're seeing is the behavior, but behind the behavior, we have the secondary emotion that for these kids, a lot is like anger, right? But behind that anger, there's, what is there? Is that a fear? What's happening for this child? Is a child that's fearful? Is a child that's feeling, what is happening there? Sadness. Is it pure sadness? Or, and then you go into the need, right? Is this child is feeling the lack of autonomy? Like those kids, they have to feel like in control, or they feeling completely out of control. What's happening at home? What's happening in the classroom? This child's being bullied or whatever. So first, you ground yourself. Two, understand what's happening behind the behavior. Three, connection. Connect with that child. Connection before correction. Look that child in the eye. Mirror their affection. What's happening in their face? Like, are they sad? Are they angry? Are they? So just like mirrors. Well, I call it. I think it's called self-psychology. Teaches a lot about the mirroring. So mirror that. So the child feel like understood. You are not saying it's okay for you to behave the way you're behaving. That's not what you're doing at all. Because now it's where you're going to address the behavior. But now the child is feeling like, oh man, she got it. She knows where I'm coming from. And now if the child's not on fire, fight. Like if the child's in that place, we're going to remove the child for a little bit, right? We're going to have to, depends the behavior here, right? There's some behavior that you have to jump in, remove the child, make sure that somebody's not getting hurt, somebody. But there's some behaviors that you have, that place that you can't connect. And then you have clear boundaries, The child need to know that it's structure, consistency. So that's another one. And then, so that's where I go through just giving you all these tools. I'm going to give you, so you and the child, connection, tools. And then support, collaboration. Collaborate with the staff in your school. And I know sometimes not the best. I get it. This is a whole other subject for us to go through here. I get it. Had special ed children in my classroom. I get it. But go connect with the parents. I know another place that a lot of those kids that have behavior issues, they probably don't have parents there present in their lives. But some of them, they do. I have kids with autism and ADHD, and I'm in it. Like, bring me in. I want to be like, help, let me help you, right? So those are the things, but I can go and I can use all the time here.
Winnie, you're getting us excited for your workshops you're doing. And so Francina will be teaching all about this. So amazing. Aren't these coaches just amazing? I hope you got a tip or a tidbit that is going to help you get through your week, help you feel inspired. That is what I am here to do for you here at Wife Teacher Mommy, and educate and rejuvenate. Now, I definitely recommend following all of these incredible coaches on their social platforms, email lists, podcasts, whatever else. So we will put their information in the show notes. So just go to the Wife Teacher Mommy show notes page on the website, and you'll be able to find where you can connect with each of them. If you loved this panel, if you happen to be a member of Wife Teacher Mommy Club, then you also have access to the rest of the replay too. So be sure to go and listen to that on the Members Only Private Podcast, or you can watch the video in the members area as well. And if you're not a member and you would like to be coached by me and these other incredible coaches, be able to join us on 1 to 2 calls live a week, or even if you don't have time for that, you could pick one a month. You can listen on the private podcast, get even more. Go to whiteteachermommy.com/join to learn more about joining us in coaching inside the club. That is it for today, my friend. We're back to once a week episodes, but I will be back next week with some new content for you. Talk then. Thank you for listening to Wife Teacher Mommy, the podcast. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
And to make your podcast experience even more personalized, I'd love to send you a custom podcast playlist of my top recommended episodes for you that I think will be the most helpful based on where you are in your journey. Simply go to wifeteachermommy.com/podcast quiz and answer a few simple questions. It'll take less than 2 minutes and you'll have your custom playlist sent your way. Plus, you'll get updates when we release new episodes and get an exclusive clip from a coaching call sent to you every single week. So you'll get even more free content to help you live your best life. You've got nothing to lose. So what are you waiting for? Go to wifeteachermommy.com/podcast quiz now.